Oh, music from the film we're about to talk about. Very cool. Director Diego Ongaro's first feature film, Bob and the Trees, premiered at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year and is going to screen at the Berkshire International Film Festival on May 29th in Great Barrington. That's a week from today. The film is a fiction narrative and was entirely shot in the Berkshires in the winter of 2014 using mostly non-professional actors. Diego Ongaro joins us this morning, along with Bob Tarasek, who is it Tarasek?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Not Tarasek.
No.
Tarasek. Okay.
Perfect.
The actor playing Bob, a version of himself in the film, and to explain all of this in detail and to make sense of it, we welcome Diego and Bob to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Very nice to have you here. Thank you for being here. So let us begin with you, Diego. How did you come to make this particular film?
This started when I moved to the Berkshires with my wife. That was 8 years ago. I grew up in Paris and then moved to New York and then ended up in this very, very small town of 800 people in the middle of the woods. And I quickly became friend with Bob, who is a forester. He's been doing it for like 35 years in the area. And we became friends, and he was also logging with his son and son-in-law. And he would take me out on jobs. And that's how I was introduced about logging, because I didn't know anything about it. And it's such a big industry in our community. And just like watching them, spending time with them and seeing like the harsh condition that they work in, and the science behind all the work and everything you need to know to make things right, that opened like a new world to me that I was completely foreign of.
So with that said, we should note, as I did in the introduction, this is a fictional narrative. This is not a documentary.
Yes.
Of Bob.
Yeah. It is a fictional narrative. It uses documentary storytelling tools. So it has a documentary flavor to it, but... So you're right on the edge there. Like, you're like, really, it's a fine balance between fiction and between almost real life and documentary. And I mean, I was interested in, Bob is a real person. He's sitting right next to me right now, and yep, he's amazing.
Sitting next to me too.
And I was fascinated with him and his line of work and who he is in real life. And I was interested in telling a fictional story using a real character.
So, and I want to talk to Bob about that in a second, but this, the thing that I got from the film is that, well, many things, but this is a very non-European, non-Parisian, film, right? This is,
yes.
We certainly in watching this film would have no idea of your origin, except for the fact, and this is where the question comes in, which is, do you think you would have been able to do that if you weren't coming from an outsider's perspective?
That's a good question. I mean, I grew up watching American films, and I mean, America has always been seen through the spectrum of film for me, so it was a big fantasy. And moving here, every time I look around, I often see it through the spectrum of film, actually. So yeah. I don't know. It definitely gives me a different perspective, and it's also the new life I have had for like the past 8 years of me moving in this small town in America. Who would have thought? I mean, you would have told me that 10 years ago. I would have think it's a joke, because I didn't see that coming. So there's a bit of that. There's definitely, I think, a different perspective from being a foreigner. And then there is like the hip hop, like, which Bob is a hip hop lover. I am a hip hop lover too. So that we find common grounds on that and try to find a story that you don't see very often told on screen. Like logging, for example, is not something we see in movies very often. I mean, actually, pretty much never. So I thought it was interesting to talk about this.
Bob and the Trees will be screened at the Berkshire International Film Festival on May 29th. So, Bob, you are an actor playing Bob.
Yes. That's pretty much the bottom line. It's the events that take place in the film Even though are fictional, many of them actually happened in my life throughout my ownership of the farm that we live on, or logging, or forestry. And having made friends with Diego and not realizing he was more or less keeping track of the events over that period of time, asked me if I would want to do this film. And at first it was a little bit scary because I'm not an actor. But then realizing that he was asking me to play Bob, a fictional character, and be Bob, and it started actually to get easier because more or less I was playing a guy who's been through those experiences that you see in the movie, and really closely.
Yeah, and a lot of this has to do with keeping the job, keeping what you're doing, and mm-hmm. and trying to find your way through a changing economy, a mess of what's going on, competition from outside sources, and just trying to mm-hmm. keep yourself afloat.
Exactly. The logging business is a really difficult business, aside from the fact that it's extremely dangerous. Way up there is one of the more dangerous occupations. You add to that volatile markets all the time for logs and all the expenses. It's really a tough business to make it in. And when you see the things that happen in the movie happening, they do happen. And it just makes more problems for having to make a living in that industry. So, it's a fight. In the movie, it's a fight in real life. My son's in the logging business now. Just, I can't even describe how difficult it is for him today, even having lived, with me all these years and seeing all the ups and downs. He's still struggling.
So was there a script?
Yeah, we worked from a treatment, basically. The whole film wasn't scripted as far as dialogues, but there was a pretty clear treatment which described every scene back to back and gave a really clear idea of what the story would be, and that's what we worked with.
So there's a scene in the film where like you and a bunch of friends are sitting around and talking, drinking, and swearing.
Yep.
I don't know how else to describe it. so in you're saying, okay, that's what we want to do, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like these guys talking. Like,
yeah.
This is not scripted.
A really good example of a scene that is absolutely not scripted and completely shot as if it was a documentary. I'm usually within that crowd with these guys, and like we call that the drink and drink.
The drink and drink.
Yes.
Okay.
You can't only drink. I mean, you have to drink
and drink.
And drink. I mean, because that's the point.
Not like a talk and drink.
Yeah.
You just drink.
Right.
And then drink.
And this specific scene was, it was easy. I mean, I knew that I would bring these guys together, and they're like good friends in real life, and just let things happen. And
this is where we wanted to get to, because you're using, in many cases, as I mentioned in the introduction, non-professional actors, and there is a camaraderie, there's a friendship, there is a connection there that, I mean, you couldn't cast in a million years.
That's
because
right.
It's just mm-hmm. you, I mean, you're busting each other like you've been friends forever, which works because you've been friends forever, mm-hmm. I assume.
Exactly.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
And so when you call up your friends and say, hey, we're going to be in this film, what do they think?
Well, I mean, he called them up. Everybody wanted to be. They couldn't wait because they're, like Diego said, he had a storyline for each scene. He had something that he wanted to see happen. And often it would be, okay, we're going to do this right now. Let's go ahead and do it. And the script, the actual script was created then, and then he would guide it and mold it and, okay, let's try it this way. Don't be so excited. Don't be so mad. Don't be so angry. And to have that be such a natural thing, anybody that was involved with the movie felt very comfortable about just doing what they do and being themselves. The loggers in the scene at the bar, my goodness, they're all real loggers. They're all really close friends. And it went from drama to hilarity all the time.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, it was really important not to to have it scripted because, I mean, they're not professional actors and I didn't want them to have to just go and learn lines by heart, which is a really difficult thing to do and takes you off from being natural often.
How did the film get picked up at Sundance?
Cold submission. We finished it right in time to send it in back in September 2014 and with a rough sound mix. And we didn't hear back until Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving, and I got a phone call from a programmer there. And I was crying on the phone. I couldn't believe it. I didn't see that coming. I was hoping, but I mean, I thought it was too late already.
Yeah.
So that was wonderful. I couldn't sleep for 3 weeks. I was so excited.
Once you have that, does it open it up to, I mean, obviously the Berkshire International Film Festival is a natural because you're in the Berkshires, but for other festivals, does it really open the door?
It does. I mean, it's the biggest door we could have opened for us. I mean, except Cannes, that would be bigger, but for North American market, that's huge. So as soon as word got out that we got into the festival, we got sales agent calling us and wanting to represent the film, and just regular talent agency calling me up too. And this is stuff that never happened to me before. And that was wonderful. And then of course, like screening at Sundance, you have a lot of festivals from around the world, programmers that go there to watch movies. And if they like it, they invite you on the spot. I mean, they call you up and say, okay, we want to play your film for our festival. So you don't have to go through submissions and stuff like that. It's really nice.
And you've had that experience.
Yes. It opened a lot of doors.
Yeah. When so where do you see it going? And I guess the film, but also your next work.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping the film will keep on going to other festivals, and we have more festivals lined up, and I'm hoping we'll get more and more because it's a pretty small film, and if we don't have festivals, it's gonna be tough for us.
Right.
We're looking for distribution, and I'm sure we'll find some, but it's gonna be a small release. I mean, it's a smaller scale film.
Sure.
So I'm hoping we really get good word out and buzz with festivals as much as we can and build up something with it. As far as other films, I'm currently thinking about it right now. It's still pretty blurry, but I would love to film something in the Berkshires again. Something with
Bob.
With maybe Bob would have something, or I would want it in Bob Goes to Paris. Who knows?
Bob Goes to Paris. There you go.
Okay, I'm in.
All right, Bob's in. Come back next year. Tell us about Bob Goes to Paris. Director Diego Ongaro's feature film, Bob in the Trees, is going to screen at the Berkshire International Film Festival on May 29th in Great Barrington. Go to the Berkshire International Film Festival site for more information. It is BIFMA, B-I-F-F-M-A, BIFMA.org. Diego Ongaro, Bob Tarasek, I thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.
Congratulations. Have a great time next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.